If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere, Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by the Trash Man and Cody Carpentier here on a big, big day, man. We're back from SEC Media Days and getting to see some of the future stars of tomorrow at that event. And while we were there, we were doing a bunch of testing on updates to the magical, mystical, mythical cheat sheets at RosterWatch.com, hopefully getting the standard version 1.0 up pretty soon. Cody has been blasting away on that thing. We're getting an update from 1.6 to 2.0 on the PPR cheat sheets, so make sure to keep an eye on that. And also what we did while we were there in Dallas for that event was get up the quarterback and tight end strength of schedule tools. So all 4 fantasy positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, all now in the pro section for our pro members, where you can look and you can see our projected strength of schedule. Again, remember, that's never based on last season's fantasy points allowed. That would be stupid to look at. We have to project this season, look at the personnel, look at the scheme changes, look at all the stuff that Cody saw me doing inside that stupid spreadsheet that I'm glad to be done with now. It all goes into a really, really simple to use tool. And so we're going to talk about some quarterbacks that we're looking at now, not necessarily just based on this, but based on our projections, based on our insight, what we've learned over the offseason, and clearly a lot more to learn coming into the training camp tour, which is going to kick off here in the next couple of weeks. Boys, how are y'all doing?
Can't complain. Well, I guess it could, but.
Cody, you make it back home from Dallas on your 21-hour drive or whatever it was?
Yeah, made it home. 16 hours, stopped in the middle for a little bit, but made it home. Just returned the rental car and got back in the desk and back to work.
All right. Well, a lot to get to. Before we talk about these quarterbacks, I just want to ask you guys quickly, maybe just ask Trash Man. I sort of know how
Cody feels about this, but it's about this Nick Chubb stuff. And if we're going to be interested in Nick Chubb in fantasy, and what Cody, will you explain why that bar was bending so much on his back whenever it showed him doing squats? Was that just from the weights, or is that a special kind of bar?
He was using some sort of Quake bar, which a Quake bar is built for. Generally, if it's in like your everyday gym, you'll see these bars used with like hanging kettlebells, bands with weights on it, and it only enhances the Quake. And that's when you see it shaking and stuff. And that's literally built to create better core for squatting, core strength, and then when you're benching to really stabilize, because when you're benching, that's obviously like your shoulders and your pecs and everything's got to work together in balance. And for me, it's not just like looking at him squatting 545 pounds, which he did, but it was on a Quake bar, which tells you that they're really pushing the limits of, first off, his core, which is important being a professional athlete to begin with, but also the durability of those knees. And I know when you look over at the six score from Dr. David Chow, it was up in like the 65 range, and it said he was healthy. And I just put those things together, and being 8 months post ACL, I know it was disgusting. We all watched it against the Steelers for Nick Chubb. I feel like we're in a really good place as far as getting Nick Chubb likely vamped up here in a couple of weeks to the beginning of training camp and into the season fully healthy by week one, and probably the starting running back for Cleveland, and putting us right back to square one. That squat is much more impressive than I think the general public even realizes, just being 545 pounds.
Well, it's just like, I looked at it and I was like, well, all it is squats. Like, you know, it was like, it sometimes whenever these like analysts, you know how these Twitter.
What do you squat, Cody?
The biggest squat that I ever had was 711 pounds.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Were you using a Quake bar?
No. That was a competition. Made it stick bar.
Well, would a Quake bar have made it easier?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like a Quake bar, like, so we've seen videos before of Nick Chubb. I could probably pull it up. Nick Chubb's biggest squat ever. I think he squatted somewhere close to 700, if not 700 before. This is from a year ago, May 9th, 2022, 675 pounds. And that was on a normal bar. So this is what I'm saying. Like,
you squat more than Nick Chubb? What's going on here? What is this? Jeez, this is absurd.
I don't want to get all into that, but like, I was a national competitor. Like, I was top three in the nation at one point. So it is what it is. But the point is
that lifting in general.
But this 545 pound Quake squat is something that somebody who can squat 700 pounds can do. A 545 pound squat on a straight bar, you could probably do about, if 545 was your max, you could probably do about 400 on a Quake bar.
Gosh. Okay. So it's even more impressive. Okay. All right. Super.
I'm saying. Like, the general public is seeing that. They're like, oh, 545 pounds. That bar is wobbly. It's not just wobbly. Like, it's built for that because when I brought up Adrian Peterson to you the other day, Alex, I know everyone's brought up, oh, you know, Adrian Peterson, he was on steroids maybe, and he cheated through the process, and it was like 6.5 months. Like, there's a few Greek gods out there. And I would consider Nick Chubb, if not in that tier, close to that tier of the Adrian Peterson conversation.
So here's where we stand is on the first iterations of the PPR cheat sheet. We're still super early in the process, right? And I feel like people are just using it for mock drafts and stuff right now. But we're starting to get into where soon we're going to have training camp. Soon, I've seen even in some of my own kind of home leagues and stuff like that, people are starting to send out emails. And it's super hard to get everybody together during the month of August, especially whenever, you know, as guys, you know, get married and they have families and the kids are getting back in school and their stuff starts up. It gets a little harder. Some of these drafts do come a little bit earlier now. You know, we could start to see them come. And as we do this, we need to think ahead to be like, all right, if we get reporting through fall camp that it looks like Nick Chubb is taking, like, we still don't know, but if he's taking work with the ones and it's looking like he's going to be ready to go to start the season, where he's going right now, I know it's higher in standard, Cody, But in PPR, I don't even care. In PPR, like in PPR, I still want Nick Chubb if he's the starting running back, because he's going around the same time. I can't believe this, but if you look at the Fantasy Pros, just consensus ADP right now, which will be a lot more robust once we get the ESPN, Yahoo, all the rest of that stuff in there. But the early consensus Fantasy Pros ADP on Nick Chubb, they have him down here next to Ty Chandler and guys like that. I mean, total Rico Dowdle and, you know, these types of players. He's a dude who we might be able to get in the 10th or the 11th round as our running back 4, possibly running back 5, and it could be Nick Chubb. And here's the thing. You might say, well, he's not as good in PPR, and I think you would be right about that to a certain degree, but he's still been really, really good in PPR. If you just look, I mean, last year to start the season, you mentioned he got hurt versus Pittsburgh, but what was the first game, I think, was that versus Cincinnati? I think it was versus Cincinnati, but I know, like, I remember that first game, and it looked like it was Nick Chubb being Nick Chubb. He had, like, 20 carries. He went for over 100 yards. Am I right about that, Cody? I just remember it. I should probably check this before I say it.
I was going to say, I just looked it up. He has 170 yards on the season. I think it was, yeah, you're right, 18 for 106, and then 4 receptions. I mean, he was averaging 6 yards a carry through those first two games.
If you just look at him, this isn't just ancient history to look. So he played 14 games in 2021, averaged 15.5 fantasy points per game in that one in PPR. He played 17 games in 2022, averaged 16.6, running back like 5 that season. And it's Chubb. He's one of the best. He's going to be behind a good offensive line. They're like, if he's healthy, they're going to run through him. My only question for you was, when I saw that Quake Bar thing, I realized immediately how stupid my thing was, because I said to myself, well, he can do that, but can he cut on it? Then I thought, well, can the human body really generate that much? I'm not a physicist, but can the human body really generate that and much? That much the torque on the knee, if it's a dude who's running at full speed and needs to cut on it.
Is that really his game, though? Has that ever been his entire game? His game has never been.
Well, no, yes, you know, it has, man. He's a one cut runner. So it's not full. Well, it wouldn't be a full speed cut, but he's definitely been like, I know that people think of him as just like a pure runner and a vision type of guy, but he did, like, the start of his runs, Nick Chubb is definitely from the start of his runs from through the line of scrimmage into the second level, he's definitely a slasher. It's at the second level where he uses just a really naturally good vision and just enough lateral agility to get things going.
So I brought up Adrian Peterson before, and I just realized this also with Nick Chubb is that I forgot that it was week 2. I thought it was like week 6 or 7, but it was week 2, so it was September 18th. And just to – this is how maniacal this Adrian Peterson thing was. He tore his ACL in week 16, which was December 24th, and then he played week 1 that next year. We're talking about Nick Chubb, who got hurt the second week of the season. And like I said, where we stand right now, when you're looking at these round 10 ADPs, we haven't posted the standard sheet yet, but I'm testing it. Alex and Trashman, this is a start to a standard draft right here. Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Malik Nabers, Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, Nick Chubb. That's the start.
If Nick Chubb is healthy, that just is the most, that's so elite. That's, I just don't know what to say. Right? It's just like if Nick Chubb's healthy, that's so elite that I don't know what to say. That's just way too sick. So it's just going to be interesting to see how we sort of build this out, and we're going to I think when you hear us on the radio running simulations this weekend, you're going to hear us having some Nick Chubb, and it goes against everything. It goes against a lot of the stuff that we generally worry about with dudes coming off injuries. But it's like at that point, what's the opportunity cost? The opportunity cost at that point in the draft is, just look at overall cross positionally, and you see Nick. So you're facing wide receiver two.
Ah,
no, it's like guys like Gabe Davis and Xavier Leggett.
I thought you said Terry McLaurin was right there.
No, Terry McLaurin would have been the pick before. He was talking about, he already had Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Malik Nabers, and then Terry McLaurin or something
and
like
Diggs.
That. And Diggs, so and with the two stud running backs,
and then you're taking Chubb ahead of ADP at 803.
you might be able to move Chubb down a little bit and get him at the ninth. Get him in the. Can you get him in the ninth? We can tweak it. It doesn't matter. But yeah. I really like the general idea here. I'm starting to warm up some on Nick Chubb. So we'll talk about that.
Well, you know, the consensus is going to warm up on him too. So I mean,
I know. But this is us being ahead of the curve, I think. And it could be that, like, he was just wearing a giant brace and we can't tell. And you know what I mean? And he's totally not ready. But right now it's absolutely worth taking the stab. You could have your running back one super. He's been, like, that's a running back one. If Nick Chubb was coming into this season healthy, what do you think? He's being drafted running back. I think probably. No, I mean, I think it probably would just go McCaffrey, Bijan, Breece Hall. I think Gibbs goes ahead of him. JT goes ahead of him. I think Barkley goes ahead of him.
Really?
Yeah, of course. But
it's probably him and Henry.
Him and Henry. Like, he'd be in there with him, Henry, Achan.
That's like pick
Kyron Williams.
You know, he would be in front of Achan.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's really hard to get those HN 50 burgers out of your mind after you saw him last year and hear the reporting on him. So, I think he'd be in that cluster.
Chubb's been perennially a top five back, right?
Not perennially. I think it's 2022. I think he was 2021. I think he was more kind of on the low end running back one. But yes, I mean he's been really good. He's been really really good. So with that being said, look for those updates on the cheat sheets. I'll be running them all day today and all day on Saturday going into the SiriusXM show and as we kind of run those sims live on air.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
You guys, let me know if I break up a little bit. I was getting a little signal thing earlier. Have I broke up at all during this, or has it been fine? Okay. One thing I just wanted to say before we talk about quarterbacks too was just from the tight end strength of schedule tool. And it's this thing I was thinking about. I'm such a sicko. I was thinking about this last night when I was going to bed. But I was. And if you look at the strength of schedule tool at Roster Watch for the tight ends, the single best strength of schedule for tight ends this year is looking to be the Baltimore Ravens. And we know what that means. It means, you know, clearly good news for Mark Andrews. I started thinking about him vis-a-vis Trey McBride and wondering, you know, Trey McBride's going ahead of Mark Andrews right now. Trey McBride on the strength of schedule tool is much farther down. The Arizona Cardinals face what is the 23rd worst opposing set of defenses for fantasy football tight ends. Mark Andrews gets the best. And I can understand why people love McBride so much, because he was winning us all the DFS contests last year, starting in like week 8 when they started featuring him. He didn't have any less than 5 targets in any single game. He He had, I think he had a couple games where he popped up to the 13, 14 target range. I should probably look and make. Yeah, so he had a 14 target game in there, an 11 target game, a whole grip of 9 target games, right? 5 targets being the least. And people are taking that and they're extrapolating that end of season run in 2023 to what he's likely to do this year when they're, you know, doing their valuation of Trey McBride. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is now in the picture there. And you don't draft a guy that early to not be a total target sponge. And we know how good he is. And I just wonder how much that's going to funnel away from McBride. Whereas, you know, with the Ravens, they draft Devontae Walker and they, you know what I mean? They tell us at the combine, you're like, what do you think about the wide receivers? You know? And they're like, well, we really want something big out of Rashad Bateman this year and all this stuff. It feels like if Mark Andrews is healthy, they're probably, you know, if Mark Andrews is healthy, they're probably I think the passing game probably runs through him. He's only 28 years old. You know, we think of Mark Andrews as being much, much older than he is, but he's only coming into his 7th NFL season. And even last year, outside of outside of the game that he got hurt and the one game he came back in last year in the KC game where people still think he was a little bit hurt, he never had less than 5 targets. You look at 2022, he never had less than – oh, so one game he had less than 5 targets against Cleveland. Cleveland is the toughest matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool this year for opposing tight ends. And the good news for Andrews is it's the only bottom 8 matchup that he faces in the entire season because the Ravens play Cleveland in week 18, so it's not part of the fantasy football schedule, right? That is not part of our season. So if we're talking about a dude that's just guaranteed the targets, if I look back at 2021, did he have – never had less than 5 targets in 2021 going through a full season. So it's like we don't need to just extrapolate what happened at the very end of a season whenever everybody's hurt and he's the only target that they have in Trey McBride. Whereas with Mark Andrews, all we've seen him do is do it time. It's not like every year. It's like a 5 target minimum with these pops up to the 11 to 14 target range. Shouldn't we be taking Mark Andrews ahead of Trey McBride?
I don't think so. I mean, they had Derrick Henry. Everything we've heard about Zay from people outside.
Zay, that's fine. He's gonna get his.
Bateman, Lamar, and you know he got like bulked up last year. He cut some weight this year. I think I get it, and also like likely still there. I don't think he's like a full-blown fade, but when I'm looking at like Arizona and you look at the schedule with literally what's there, it's literally Marvin, it's McBride. That's Michael Wilson, yes. But as far as true targets, like
in Baltimore, it's Zay and it's Andrews.
True. But Baltimore has a really good defense. Baltimore is going to be leading a lot of games. Again, that could benefit Andrews by just getting targets, but they also have the big dog. And the big dog is going to be the one that gets those carries when they're winning football games. Arizona, on the other hand, that defense is like 2 years away. And they're going to be trailing in a lot of games. They're in arguably the toughest division in football. I don't know what the numbers look like. I haven't really run any projections or anything like that to know exactly what the projected pass attempts are going to look like for Arizona vis-a-vis Baltimore, but I would bet you Arizona's probably going to have somewhere between 80 and 100 more pass attempts on the season. And losing games and being down in games, I should say, again, this team's plus 1,200 to win their division, which I got on a plus 1,100 earlier this offseason, and I still feel good about them. But their defense is not anywhere close to really compete with a lot of these teams, and they're going to be losing the majority of games, which is going to cause them to, yeah, it's probably going to help James Conner too, but be throwing the football a lot, which is something we saw last year with Trey McBride, where he was just peppered and peppered and peppered and peppered and peppered down the stretch and set records for, you know, they hadn't, I want to say it was like what, 33 games or 33 weeks without having a tight end. I can't remember what the damn number was. I don't want to make up a number, but there was like a big, big, big long gap between having a tight end, having 100 yards receiving, and McBride broke that and then did it multiple times. I think I'm on McBride.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think what I just laid out about like the strength of schedule with Andrews, the rest of it, maybe it's just from a PPR perspective. I'm just looking at the pure target volume, and I'm just thinking it's always been there. It's never not been there. I think he's going to be fine.
I don't think he's going to suck. I don't think he's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't think he should be going after the upside line, though. What do you mean? Where's the upside lie? The upside for Mark Andrews is, I mean,
versus Trey McBride.
What do you mean? We know Trey McBride's ultimate upside. We've seen it. But we've seen Mark Andrews have these games where he averages 18 fantasy points per game in PPR. Ever since his second year, he's never averaged less than like 14, 13.9, 13.5 as far as his fantasy points per game in PPR. Hardly ever less than 5 targets, except in games.
The Ravens are adding pass catchers where they're
– No, they're not.
I mean –
Who? Devontae Walker, he stinks.
Ain't good.
The Arizona Cardinals are adding pass catchers. They added Marvin Harrison Jr.
But they also didn't have any pass catcher. I feel like who's behind Marvin Harrison?
Michael Wilson Jr.
Zay.
I mean, I'm more excited about McBride, but maybe that's just because Andrews has been around.
It's just because he's the shiny new toy. I think we need to be considering Andrews. It shouldn't just be all McBride. Andrews is a good pick this year. He's a good pick.
I think he's a fine pick. I don't know if he's a good pick. I mean, he literally played 9 games last year. Like, they know what likely is now. They can use likely.
And they can use 2 tight end sets. It's fine. It's just, man, if you look at what Trey McBride did just before 8 to 9 games,
this isn't Kelsey.
Is Trey McBride Kelsey? I love Trey McBride.
He's 23 years old and he can be Kelsey. He can be. But we saw Kelsey.
I'd love to see McBride a full season with Murray under center.
Correct.
Well, you're gonna see it. But our job right now is to project what it is we're going to see. Do you guys want to make a Mark Andrews Trey McBride bet?
Yes.
PPR. Just straight up what fantasy points. I'll take straight up fantasy points. I'll do 2 Jersey Mike sandwiches with each of you. I'll write it down on my sheet right now. Deal?
That's fine with me.
Cody? Booked? Okay. So McBride, Andrews for 2 Jersey Mikes. And that's with Cody and with Trash Man. All right. What do you guys think about these quarterbacks? Trash Man thought that the assignment was to go with undervalued quarterbacks. So, Trash Man, who do you think
the title of the show is? Oh, okay.
I thought it was quarterback strength of schedule. So, my bad.
I mean, Anthony Richardson is the most undervalued, well, most valuable quarterback right now. You know, was ADP quarterback 6 right now? I believe
he is right now. Yeah, 6,
and could break the game. This season, we're talking like Michael Vick, LaDainian Tomlinson level possibility of breaking fantasy this season.
We always say it, but he would have been quarterback 1 last year if he would have kept up what he was doing for, you know, and that counts the games where he went out, where he got concussed and stuff. It's just like Anthony Richardson's absurd. And you guys know that we're getting a ton of them. You know, we're getting a ton of them.
It's like one of those things, like when you're running the mocks and you see him. You know, because you can't have 100% ownership of anybody, or you can't have 100% draftable, whatever you want to call it, if you don't want to call ownership, whatever. But you can't draft somebody 100% of the time when you're doing the simulator. But Richardson always pops up there, and he's always in the conversation. It's like, oh, there's a receiver that's ahead of him that, you know, we got to take a receiver this time. But he's like the one guy every single mock that I go through where I'm just like, yeah, but.
He's always in striking distance.
Yeah, but. Yeah. But can I just have him, please?
Yeah, but we can't do that.
I know, I get that, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm going into what Trashman's saying is like he's the one that we could see break the game this year, that we saw last year, the first couple of weeks, break the game almost. And now you've only heard positives, and the offensive line is continuing to build. I'll go rookie. I'm going to go Caleb. I think Caleb this year is a sick value. He's going off right now quarterback 17. And when you look at all the strengths of schedule tools, they're all pretty favorable towards Chicago. The quarterback one has Chicago second. Very quick start. They got some nice matchups with Houston, the Rams, Jacksonville, Washington, Arizona. And you look, you can look at the receiver one too. We talked about this last week with the receivers, but it's pretty juicy. And that was my first takeaway. And you hadn't even had the quarterback one done yet. Was look at these receivers. They're just dialed in for a good season, and that translates right to the quarterback. And I mentioned it before. As sick as CJ Stroud was last year, Stroud doesn't really have the rushing element. He doesn't have the, all right, well, he's going to pull it down and probably run for 25 to 45 yards a game, or potentially rush for 4 to 6 touchdowns on the season. Like, Caleb brings that. And so I think when you get him here, quarterback 17 overall, like after the Justin Herberts of the world with that offense regressing, Trevor Lawrence, who added weaponry, but we don't really, he doesn't feel like he's in the best situation to be successful himself. And you're just getting a disgusting value on Caleb right now, and I think that that's going to course correct. Maybe not before the season starts, but like once the season begins, people are going to be like, damn, we should have been drafting Caleb at like quarterback 8, not quarterback 17.
You stole one of mine is with Caleb. It's too obvious with like – it's a ton of agreement with the tools that it looks like, you know, not only the fast start but just the great strength of schedule. I mean, the only better strength of schedule, sadly, is Carolina for Bryce Young. So maybe that'll help him. If you're having to pick, you know, in super flex, super late, if you're having to hold your nose and pick him as your quarterback too, you can hold out hope that at least it sets up pretty well. And maybe in the first year with Dave Canales, a good schedule could help him with a good run out. Here are my two things. I'm interested to hear both of y'all's thoughts. One, Cody's boy, Mr. Banana Peel himself, Will Levis. Here's the move with Will Levis. If you don't get him, wait till somebody drops him, because I think this is what's going to happen. He starts out, he gets Chicago at Chicago, which all of a sudden is weird, but it's a bad matchup for opposing quarterbacks. I think it has to do with some of the stuff they've done with the edge rush, and has to do with Cody. Who is it? I'm blank. Jalen Johnson. Our grade on him was a lot higher than I thought it was going to come out. Then he has the Jets, which go a bottom 8 matchup. So a bottom 12 matchup in Chicago, Jets, a bottom 8 matchup. We have Green Bay actually as a good matchup. And I thought that was weird, because I was like
Jair were not good last year.
I was thinking to myself, isn't like, how is this so bad? They still have Jair Alexander. Then you go look at all the advanced metrics of Jair. And then I kind of remembered. I'm like, wait, he's bad now. I don't know if that's going to translate to this year, but apparently that's a top 8 matchup. But then they have Miami the fourth week, which is a bottom 8 matchup. But then from there on, after that week 5 bye, where he's going to get dropped, pick Will Levis up when he gets dropped at the bye, because he's going to have a bunch of stinkers, and it's going to be bye week, and they're going to have to stream. After that, for the whole rest of the season, It's like you have great matchups. Like, you have at Detroit, at the Chargers, at Houston, at Washington, at home versus Jacksonville, at home versus Cincy, and then back at Jacksonville. Those were all top 8 to top 12 matchups rest of the season. I think that Will Levis, kind of like the wide receivers that we talked about, I think it's going to take them a little while to get ramped up. But once they get ramped up, they're going to have a hot end of the season. So that's one thing I take away from this as far as a quarterback I'm interested in. And then it's the same thing with the Lions. And I'm not going to go over the Lions and how much all the tools are in agreement about the Lions this year, from the implied team totals tool to the dome games tool to the game environmental matrix tool to the strength of schedule tool for all this stuff. Jared Goff gets off to a fast start. He gets 3 top 8 matchups in a row to start the season, 2 games at home versus the Rams and versus the Bucks, and then he gets to go at Arizona. It's the 5th best overall strength of schedule for opposing quarterbacks, and it is one that the only real issue that you can find with it is in the fantasy playoffs, wherever they have to go at Chicago and at San Francisco. But I do think that San Francisco game could be one where the teams end up going kind of back and forth. to where even though the personnel is good for opposing quarterbacks, the actual game script, which we do take into account, but it isn't everything, the projected game script. I think by then in the season, the projected game script might be more of a factor because a lot of this personnel that we're taking into consideration, we might not be right about whether they're still good, and they also might be hurt. So I think that's the only real kind of wart that I could find on Jared Goff's profile. If I had to ask you guys, if you're taking a late round quarterback, which one are you taking, Jared Goff or Will Levis?
Goff.
Yeah, probably Goff. Probably wait. I'm probably good waiting on Levis till after the bye week. If I'm gonna add Levis.
I just don't really see a situation outside of a two quarterback lead where I'm implementing Levis.
That's definitely the one. Is like in, I know super flex leagues are like rare in seasonal and stuff, but like if you're in that or even in dynasty per se, like Levis is gonna be perfect in that scenario where you don't really have to play him the first half of the year, but you have him in the pocket and you can just as soon as he starts going in the second half of the season, I mean it's Yahtzee at that point.